book of Job, chapter 14. Job, chapter number 14. Let's stand, please. Going to look at verse number 10. But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost. And where is he? Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we want to thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have to be in the house of God. Lord, what a joy it is to sing the praises. God, our hearts be blessed and stirred by the singing of the songs of Zion. I praise your holy name. Then, Father, today, as we stand here, we thank you, Lord, for this people. Every person that's come this way, I appreciate their presence. But, Lord, I pray more than me appreciating them that you will bless their hearts. I pray you'd stir their lives, help those that are unsaved to see their need of a Savior. I pray for Holy Ghost conviction to be real. And then, Father, you touch those that are out of the will of God that you might restore that joy. And I pray, Heavenly Father, encourage the discouraged. And there's some here today that's going through sickness. They're going through problems, some family, some situations, individual. But, Father, you know our hearts, you know our lives, you know our needs today. I pray in Jesus' name as we look in the Word of God, help us to handle that Word of God as you'd have us to do so. I pray the Holy Spirit move in our minds and our hearts, saturate us, anoint us with the Holy Spirit to preach. And Father, I pray thy Word go forth and not return void as you'd have it to do so. And we praise you and thank you and plead the blood. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. In the book of Job, there's a lot of questions that are asked. There's a lot of comments that are made. There's some that his friends made to him. There's some that are questions that some foolish, some right. But men ask questions. But there's three questions in the book of Job that I want to deal with today. If God be my helper and try to answer them by the Word of God. And sometimes we all have questions about these things. I won't say anything most of you don't already know, but I do want to stir your remembrance up and that you may be thinking about it, because regardless of what we think about it, we are an eternity-bound people. And regardless of how we consider ourselves, we are one day going to have to face God. And here in this scripture I read to you, but man dieth and wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? I'd like to try to answer that question by the scriptures, and then we'll move on to two more questions. But if a man dies, where is he? These people in our society today, that they'll ask that question, and some will say, I don't know. And some say their spirit just drifting around somewhere, and they don't know where that somewhere is nor what they're doing. And then some think that that's all there is to it. They die, and that's the end of it, and are no more. But that's not what the Bible says. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7 says, then shall the dust return unto the earth as it was, and the spirit unto God who gave it. And I want you to get that verse, because it is very vital to us to understand the body, this physical house we live in, is going back to the dust from whence it came. The spirit is going back to God who gave it. Now, I realize we're going to talk about two different places in a minute, but I want you to know the devil doesn't put people in hell. God does. God has the authority over hell, not the devil. The devil's going to be in the lake of fire himself someday, and he certainly don't control it, or he wouldn't go there. And so we need to realize the fact that we spirit is in the hands. I've said this many times at funeral services when somebody may have passed away. There may be some doubt about where they are, what's happened to them. I can make this statement and be true about it. They're in the hands of a just God. And he never does wrong. He always right. And so in the hands of a just God, that's true. They are in the hands of a just God. God is still on the throne. He still is the authority. And he still controls where man goes when this is over with. And of course, man has a choice to make in this life about what he does with the Lord Jesus. But God has the ultimate say about eternity. And so we're looking at this today. Man dies, and where is he? Well, the body's going back to the dust. The spirit's going back to God. But then what about those who know not the Lord Jesus? Well, let me deal with that just for a moment. In Luke 16, and I'm not going to take time to turn there and read today because I want to get these three questions in. But in Luke 16, you know the story. At the rich man, there's a man that fired sumptuously every day. That means he had plenty to eat, plenty to wear, place to sleep and all that. And he had plenty of this world's goods, but he didn't know God. Then there was a poor man, Lazarus, that was sick and lay at his gate and begged for the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. And dogs came and licked his sores, but he knew God. Hallelujah. Here's a good contrast. Here's a man prosperous, got it all. And here's a man that doesn't have anything in the world, seemed like, except some dogs come by and lick his sores. But in you, God, here's what's really important. You may live to be 100. You may live to be 105. I knew a preacher one time up in Virginia that lived to be 116. But he died. And you can rest assured your lifespan will end one day. Either Jesus will come and rapture us out, or we'll have to go in eternity and meet God. And so here we find a rich man. He died, and the Bible says in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. I did not write the book. I did not put that in there. God did. I realize it's not a popular subject in our society today, but hell is a real place. And the Bible says people that do not know Jesus Christ go to hell. And I'm not happy about that. I'm not excited for people to go to hell. I want people to be saved and go to heaven. I desire that people know Jesus Christ and go to heaven with us. But hell's real. And man tries to push it aside. He don't want to think about it, don't want to deal with it. But it's a real place, and people go there. But oh, praise God, when Lazarus died, the Bible said he was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. I get excited about that. Hallelujah. When we leave out of here, I don't believe we'll leave alone. Amen. Saved people, I'm talking about. Leave out of here. He said angels bore him into Abraham's bosom. We realize that the thief on the cross that repented, and Jesus said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. And paradise is a place where they went before Jesus died on the cross of Calvary and rose from the dead, ascended back into heaven, and he led captivity captive. In other words, he emptied out paradise, moved paradise to heaven. How you know paradise is in heaven? Because Paul said one time he was caught up into paradise in the third heaven. And the third heaven's where God's throne is. And he was caught up there, and so paradise had now been moved. But before Jesus died and rose, men went to paradise. You find in the Old Testament that when the saints died, they were gathered unto their own people. And in that place waiting, and that thief on the cross that died, Jesus was in paradise. And when he died, he went on to the Word of God said that Jesus would be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And now he was in the tomb, the body was 3 days and three nights, but Jesus was in the heart of the earth in paradise, and there preached unto the saints, and they got to see him that loved him and died for him. And then after his resurrection, many of them were seen on the streets of Jerusalem. Can't go into all that, but I can tell you this today, hallelujah and praise God for a living Savior. And I'm glad today that when saved people, that they die, they give up the ghost, they leave this world, where do they go? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather that to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. We'd be better off, Paul said, I'd be better off to go, but it's needful that I stay for your sake. And so today, did you know Jesus leaves us here for his sake, for his glory, help somebody else, but it'd be for saved people. Hey, we're winners either way, if we go or if we stay. I'm glad, praise God, I'm on the winning side, headed toward glory, and one day we'll be there in the presence of the living God. And to leave this world's not a bad thing for a saved person. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. One of the old preachers said as he was dying, said, this is my crowning day. This is my coronation day. And left out of here shouting glory. I say praise God and the Lamb forever. It's good to be saved and know where you're going. But if you're not saved, you're not going to heaven. And because only people get to heaven, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And he said, no man come to the Father but by me. And so Jesus is the only way to get to heaven and can't get there other way. Let me get to the second question I want to give you this morning. Look at verse number 14 of this chapter that I read. We've talked about a man giving up the ghost and dying. Where is he? But now it says, verse 14, if a man die, shall he live again? Hallelujah. What a question. If a man die, shall he live again? Now, we've already established the fact that when he dies, his soul spirit goes to be with God or it goes to hell, one or the other. But now he's saying, if a man dies, shall he live again? He's talking about the body. Shall he live again? Acts 24 and verse 15, the latter part of that verse says this, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and of the unjust. A resurrection both of the just and the unjust. Let's look at the just first of all. Look with me in the book of Job chapter 19. Job chapter 19, verse 23. I love it. Shall there be a resurrection? If a man die, shall he live again? God said there'd be a resurrection of just and of the unjust. I believe there will be. Look what Job said in verse 23, Job 19. Oh, that my words were now written. Hallelujah, they are. Oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen laid in the rock forever. And I say today, praise God, they are, because this word will never cease to be. It will be forever. And verse 25, for I know, I'm glad this is something I know. It's not that I guess, maybe I might, it might happen. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he called him his Redeemer. And that he shall stand the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself. And mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. What Job was saying was that I may die physically and go back to the dust, but I know there'll be a day that I'll resurrect, and my Redeemer liveth. He knew that he believed he was coming. He believed he was dying. He believed he was resurrected from the dead. And this is all prophecy now. But he believed it. And I say hallelujah. I look back at it and believe it. And I know that my Redeemer liveth. Hallelujah. And that the last days shall stand upon them. I know there's going to be a resurrection. And I know in my flesh shall I see God. And made it plain in those verses. In my flesh shall I see God. Now soul, spirit yonder with God if they're saved. But thank God there's going to be a resurrection one day. It's going to take place. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, 57, but I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment, twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together. I'm in 1 Thessalonians 4, 13, starting in 1 Thessalonians 4, 13. I got out one chapter and the other, but it's on the same subject and says the same thing. And 1 Corinthians talks about this corruptible putting on incorruption, this mortal putting on immortality. So when this corruption shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. Strength of sin's the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory
through our Lord Jesus Christ. I say hallelujah today. One day I'm going to look back at the grave and say, oh grave, where's your victory? And death, where's your sting? I'm glad when Jesus died at Calvary, he pulled the stinger out of death. And a honeybee stings, leaves their stinger. They can never sting again. Hallelujah. And Jesus pulled the sting out of death for every believer, and death will not hurt us. Hallelujah. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Hallelujah. When he's with you, a shadow can't hurt you, by the way. A transfer truck go by and the shadow run over you, you can't even feel it. You just know a shadow came. But if a tractor trailer hits you, you'll know it. That's the difference in being saved and unsaved. When death comes, it's just a shadow for us that are saved. But for the unsaved, it's a reality of a thing that takes place, real death. If a man dies, should he live again? Hallelujah, yes. He's going to resurrect from the dead. Now back to 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I would not have you even, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead, even so them also which sleep shall be resurrected. Well, I'm not getting that right either. I'm paraphrasing it now, but here's what it's saying is that the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with him in the clouds, meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, here's what I'm driving at. This corruptible God put on incorruption, this mortal put on immortality. And when that person is put in the ground, Brother Tim, many times at the graveside, has sang that song for us, Resurrection Ground. And I know we call them cemeteries, graveyards. You just call them graveyards. Now we call them cemeteries, and sometimes we call them memorial gardens. We're trying to make it sound better all the time. But the stark reality of it is somebody died. But if we're a saved person, it's not really death. It's the night, when it talks about sleep in Jesus, it's not talking about that soul and spirit being asleep. It's talking about that body is there. No longer life in it. And so when we go to a graveside, and we're standing there, it's resurrection ground for those who are saved. There's going to be a day. There'll be a day that Jesus will come in the air, and he'll make a shout, and the trump will sound, and cry, come up hither. How you know that cry? Because Revelation 4:1 says so. He'll cry, come up hither, and all those who are saved by the grace of God will come out of the grave, and they'll come in a glorified body. Can you imagine being in a glorified body? Can you imagine? Hey, today, some of y'all just like me, you got pains in your body and you feel bad physically and all that kind of stuff, but I'm feeling better right now. Hallelujah. And praise God. Hey, listen, I'm looking for a new body that won't have a pain, won't have a sorrow, never have a tear to be shed. And that soul spirit come back with him, that body be glorified, resurrected, and joined back together. And I say hallelujah. That's real today. That's not make-believe stuff. That's not something Santa Claus wrote down. That's something, praise God, that's real. And Jesus Christ is coming, going to get us out of here in glorified bodies. And I say glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Let me give you that third question before I get carried away, sure enough. Well, I better finish up on the resurrection of the unjust. Turn with me in Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter number 20. Verse number 11. I saw a great white throne, him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to the works. And you say, well, preacher, there's works. Doesn't our works get us to heaven or keep us out? No, no. They're already lost, already doomed. Works is just, I believe there'll be a degree of punishment in hell. I believe that some folk are going to be punished more than others. Hey, some had more light than others. You're talking about a holy God, a just God does right. He always does right. In heaven, there's going to be rewards and loss of rewards. And in hell, there are going to be some degrees of punishment. Him that knoweth to do better and doeth right and doesn't, he'll be beaten with many stripes. That's what the Bible said. Now, we're back to verse 11. It said, no place. And I saw the, well, where was I? And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. Another book was open, which is, and here's what it depends on, is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to the works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. Now that they're there at the great white throne judgment. So they're already doomed. They're already, but they're judged for their work. Every man is going to stand before God in judgment. His appointed unto man wants to die. After this, the judgment. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. What did we say a while ago about those who die without Christ? They go to hell. And death and hell be cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. It wasn't according to what they did or didn't do, but whosoever not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Go to the lake of fire because they're not saved, born again, children of God, but there'll be degrees upon him, but that be as it may. Back to our two questions we've answered already. Man dieth and giveth up the ghost. Where is he? Heaven or hell? And then if a man dies, shall he live again? Yes, he shall. And saved will come out in glorified bodies and live forever and ever with Jesus like that. Unsaved will come out at the great white throne judgment, not in glorified bodies, but corrupt bodies. And then they'll be cast in the lake of fire and burn forever and forever. Preacher, surely you don't believe that. I do believe that, because God said that. Now the third question, and I'll try to hurry with this one. I want you to look, please, in Job chapter 25. Job chapter number 25. Three important questions out of the book of Job. Man dies, where is he? Man dies, does he live again? Heaven or hell? He's going to live again in resurrection, be in the rapture, or be at the great white throne judgment. I realize there's some more things, details, and tied into that. I don't have time to go into those this morning. But in Job 25, verse number 4, how then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Here we're finding the third question. We've been dealing with, if a man dies, where is he? And then we've been dealing with the fact that man dies, he's going to live again. We said saved or lost, that is justified or unjustified. But now we're dealing with the fact, how does a man get justified before God? Job's crying out here and sees the corruption of man, the depravity of man, and says, how then can man be just with God? How then can he that is born of a woman be clean? The Bible says that we come from our mother's womb speaking lies. This morning, we was in my office, deacons and I meet there and pray every Sunday morning between Sunday school and preaching, and the door was open in the nursery just across the hallway. I believe it was Brother Chad and Sister Susan's baby that was crying, but there's a baby over there, you would have thought it was dying. I mean, if you didn't know better, you'd have called 911, got help. But the mother walked in. I couldn't see the nursery, but some of them standing there could, and said the mama walked in and immediately picked up the baby, quit crying. Or it might have been April's baby. I don't know which one it was, one of them. But anyway, I'll be with Susan. Then they picked up that baby, that mama, you know what? It just quit crying. It wasn't really hurting. It wasn't really dying. It wasn't really anything. It just wanted attention. I told y'all many times about this woman down in Whiteville one time that I was visiting her, and she had children running around. I was trying to illustrate to her how we're all born in sin. We're all sinners by nature, but we're sinners by choice also. And told her about her little children, these precious little children. I said, I know they're precious and all that, but they sin. I tried to just illustrate that to her. My children don't sin. They don't do anything wrong. I thought she was going to hit me over the head with a frying pan. I said, well, ma'am, I'm sorry I stirred you up about that, but the Bible said to come from the mother's womb speaking lies. Amen. And she didn't particularly agree with me nor like me or anything else. And I don't know whatever happened to her, but I know what I did. I got out. Amen. But you know, that's a good illustration that man never gets saved until he sees he's lost. Until she realizes the fact that we are sinners and children do sin. But now they're taken care of. That baby is taken care of by the grace of God and the power of God until he reaches the age of accountability. Then he becomes guilty before God. And God takes care of all that. I'm not going to worry about that. God takes care of that. I'm just telling you today, how then can man be just with God? Only way I can go to heaven be justified. And I'm going to hell if I'm not justified. So I'm really interested in this third question. How then can man be just before a holy God? A God that never sinned, a God that can't think of an unholy thought, a God that cannot do an unholy thing, a God that is perfect in every way, a God that hates sin, a God that is perfection in person of the Lord Jesus Christ. How in the world can I ever be justified? I'm a dirty, low-down sinner. I have sin in my life. My body is corrupted with sin. Yours is too. And how can we be justified before God? How can you be justified before God? I want to give you the answer from the Word of God. Turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 3. Book of Romans chapter 3. I'm going to give you four things real quickly about how to be just before God, how we're justified before God. Now remember, Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. Jesus, the virgin-born Son of the living God, came into the world, died at Calvary, rose from the dead, and ascended back into the Father, and now sits at the right hand interceding for us. But look at verse number 23 of chapter 3, book of Romans. 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Just reinforcing what I just said. But look at verse 24. Here's a principle of how we're justified. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That redemption is on the cross of Calvary, paid the price, but said being justified freely by his grace. What does that mean, preacher? Grace means that you get something that you do not deserve. Mercy is keeps you from getting what you do deserve. Mercy keeps me out of hell. Grace takes me to heaven. How can a man be justified before God? For by the grace of God we're saved, amen. For by grace are you saved through faith, that none of yourself is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:8-9, I say hallelujah. I'm glad, amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. I say hallelujah. Grace, grace, amazing. It's still amazing grace that God would ever love me, seek me out, and draw me by his power and bring me to repentance and save me by his marvelous grace. Preacher, how come you got saved? You don't deserve to go to heaven. No, I don't deserve to go to heaven. I ought to go to hell, but I'm going to heaven by the grace of God. Just grace, amen, just grace. That's the principle on which I got saved, is the grace of God. But look in Romans chapter 5, verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Being justified by faith, there's a practical part of it. I'm justified by the grace of God, but I'm justified by faith. I had to believe what he said. And that faith, that's a practical part. That's what it presented to me, to believe. And those that believe, and said if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, I'm glad, praise God. How you get faith? Faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. This morning you're hearing preaching, you ought to thank God you're hearing preaching. If you're unsaved, thank God for it. God will generate faith in your heart, and by the grace of God, grace being extended to you, and faith you can act on. You say, preacher, I don't have much faith. I tell you, faith is a grain of mustard seed to move mountains, amen. I'm glad, praise God, I stepped on what little faith God mustered in me, and I stepped out on it. Thank God by faith and believed what God said. I didn't want else to do. I tried being a church member. I tried being good. I tried doing all these other things, but nothing did it until I got saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. That was a practical part, and the principle was grace. Practical was faith, but I want you to look at verse number 9 of this same chapter 5 in Romans. Much more. I like that much more stuff. Yeah. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Hallelujah. Practical, the principle is grace. Practical is faith. But the power of it is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I say hallelujah. I'm glad for the blood. He's power, power, wonder working power in the blood of Jesus Christ. You mean, preacher, you preach that bloody gospel? I do. I preach blood flying all through the Bible. You'll find it's true. It takes a shedding of blood, and Jesus shed his blood at Calvary for my sin, and my sin's under the blood. And thank God now, God doesn't see my sin. He sees the blood of his darling son, his righteousness, and the blood takes away my sin. Power, power in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Other people have died, but there's no power in their blood. But when Jesus died, there's power in that blood. Power, wonder-working power. Redeemed by the power of the blood. Praise God for it. Number four, and I'm going to finish up here. Verse chapter 4 and verse number 25 of Romans. Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Here's a promise of that justification. He rose from the dead. Hallelujah. He told me about grace, told me about faith, told me about the power of the blood, but then he proved it all because he got up from the dead and walked out victorious and set him alive forevermore. Revelation 1:18, I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive. And said, amen, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. I praise God and the Lamb forever. He is alive forevermore. He rose from the dead. There's nobody else ever did that. No other religion ever had that. Christianity is not religion, by the way. Religion is man-made. Christianity is God-given. Salvation by the grace of God through faith in Jesus. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't know in this house your heart. I don't know who's saved, who's not saved. I don't know who really is born again, who's not born again. But three questions we've asked here out of the book of Job and tried to answer by the word of God. Man dies, and where is he? The answer, either heaven or hell. The soul spirit goes one place or the other. Then if a man dies, shall he live again? The answer is yes. He'll be resurrected and go to in a glorified body to heaven, or be resurrected and go to the great white throne judgment and cast into the lake of fire and be punished forever and forever. How then can man be justified before God? How can he be just? The principle by grace. The practical faith. You need to act on that faith today. The powers of blood, it's shed. It's already on the mercy seat there in glory itself. Then the promise is that resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Father, I pray the Holy Spirit seal it to hearts today. How good it is to know we're saved. Thank you, Lord, for the blood that was shed at Calvary. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. It makes it all assured to us as true. Thank you for your amazing grace extended to us this morning here in this house. Heavenly Father, I pray for every unsaved in the house that they'll act on faith and believe, step out, take you at your word, believe what you said, trust the blood that was shed, the fact that you gave your life and that you love them and grace abounding, be saved. Then Heavenly Father, help those that may be here and the joy's gone from their salvation. They don't enjoy it like they once did. There's something wrong. Help them repent and come to Jesus and realize that Jesus will restore the joy. Some here today's got great burdens they need to bring to the altar of prayer and leave them with Jesus. Father, have your way in this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.